On with Mario Lopez.
What's up? You're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio from the Joe McHale Show on Netflix. Yes! My buddy Joe McHale.
I can't believe it.
Always good to see you, man.
I got him.
I was wanting to hit you up because when I heard about the new show, I was like, yes, all right. And is it essentially the soup, but with some new twists or something much
it's
more?
It's the opposite. It's nothing like it because the old soup we shot in a converted lobby. This is a studio. We have the green screen is now Forest Green instead of Kelly Green. And it's essentially that same format.
That's awesome. And when the
We have none of the same bits, so we can't be sued for intellectual property.
Well,
and two cameras.
Two cameras.
Wow.
A jib shot.
Whoa.
Really taking it next level.
Fancy.
I mean, it could never be the same because you're always talking about current events and things that are happening right now. And the premiere episode
was last week, yes.
And what did you cover?
The Bachelor Winter Games.
Of course.
Was spectacular. And then a number of shows that took place in Atlanta. Not being Donald Glover's Atlanta. With the new show, we are expanding to the world. So, and we're also covering streaming. So we made fun of what is called Beastmaster on, which is a lot like, American Ninja Warrior, which is a Netflix original series. Boom, boom. And,
That's
the Netflix sound. And then, we wanted to expand it to reality shows from around the world and other stuff, but we found in Korean soap operas, South Korean, obviously. I don't think they have a lot of. But when times of tragedy strike, usually someone either throws themselves in front of a car or they just happen to get hit by a car. And we had 5 minutes of car hits. So
spectacular montage.
Thank you.
That's the thing. Netflix being global, I imagine the content's got to get a lot more international. And there's such good stuff. And they do such crazy stuff out there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to understand the language just because that's fun. That's so fun.
There's more reality television on TV now than there was all television in 2002.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
This is my calling. It's religious.
Are you covering Fergie's rendition of the national anthem this next weekend?
So this is when stuff like that happens, it gets so covered that it kind of gets played out.
Now, good point.
If it happened on Wednesday, because we tape on Thursdays,
right.
If it happened then, we would definitely hit it.
Got it.
But we always did that with this soup as well.
To address it now. Yeah. Exactly.
That's why I like with John Oliver, when his show is called Last Week Tonight, where we have the same sort of issue where you go like, do we cover this thing that's been played out?
Is Wednesday the cutoff?
Wednesday, you could fit stuff in that you see Thursday morning, but that's about it.
Because
then it gets translated into 27 languages, and then it goes, because they need the lead time.
Yeah, that's.
I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I don't care.
That's fascinating.
They're very open.
And you obviously do the 27 languages, correct?
Yeah, it takes days. Do you know how hard Farsi is? And it's difficult. So
you got a lot of phlegm right there.
Yeah. So it's great.
Obviously, times have changed since the soup ended. Are you covering, and we're inundated with everything President Trump and like the Me Too movement and have you, that seems to dominate the conversation. Is that another example that there's too much of that, so you don't address it?
Well, believe me, when Trump goes back to The Apprentice in a couple of months, we're definitely going to cover it. But people like Samantha Bee, Trevor Noah, Kimmel, of course, Seth Meyers and Bill Maher, and it is well covered.
Right.
And so it goes that week thing, and then we're not going to be up on it. And there are too many, 1,000 reality shows out of India that we need to cover. So, we are trying to cover all that stuff before. If there's stuff that is really pressing, then
sure.
We'll hit it, but again, he should get back on that Apprentice, and then it would be field day.
Yeah, no, I love that whole international. There's some crazy stuff, dude, that goes down all over the world.
Wait till you see it.
Yeah.
We got some.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to
watching the people get hit by cars. By the way, some woman threw a bike at a guy.
Well, that was a separate clip where, and it's, when I explain it, you'll go, well, you're describing a fever dream, because that doesn't make any sense. A man very slowly is walking through a crosswalk at night in South Korea. There is a motorcycle speeding to him to knock, to clearly to hit him. And so the man, for whatever reason, is not moving out of the way.
Doesn't react.
You could react and jump out of the way.
Sure.
But, and it is not like he is impaired in any way.
Right.
He's not blind. He's not deaf. He is just staring at this motorcycle. A woman standing next to a child pulls out a small frying pan out of her purse, throws it, perfect shot to the motorcyclist's head, which then makes him swerve. And now he's coming back the other direction. She is out of frying pans. She then picks up a good size kid's bike and is clearly on wires because it soars through the air, finally knocks him out.
That's awesome.
Saves the guy.
Who's still standing in the middle of the street.
There going like, huh, what's happening? That all happened.
It's wow.
Because I thought, oh, well, if he had an impaired hearing or sight, that would be.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, well, of course he's not getting out of the way.
Yeah.
But. It's perplexing and it needs to be talked about and I will do it for you.
We need to witness that. Is there a studio audience or is there? There is a studio. It's great.
Yeah. We told Netflix, they're like, we wanted to make it look as crappy as possible. And they were like,
part of the charm.
But they were like, well, we did give $130 million to the Crown. And you're like, that's about what we're going to need. But so we wanted to make it look as crappy as it used to. But it has nothing to do with the suit. But we wanted it to be as bare bones. We also wanted it to be the cheapest show on the network. I think we are, but I can't.
And your studio is right next to the Upside Down.
It is right next to the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who watch the Stranger Things, Paul.
You've popped in there a couple times.
Paul Reiser appeared on the show. And he called me an asshole. And
nice.
In the sketch. Yeah. And it was great.
It is mixed with some sketches and
so, yeah, like the old, like, so we opened up with Kevin Hart in studio jumping up and down on me because we had just shown a clip of a dog jumping on a pig to wake me up to get me to host the show. And then so that sketches will break it up. But then we use celebrities to throughout the show who kind of come in and they interact and they move out. So it's not. There's no sitting down and interviewing people because I would be horrible at that.
I doubt that, but well, that's fun, man. That's
I'd be like,
fun.
Mario, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
What's going on?
You're
what are you doing?
It's a weird vibe. I'm
By
getting
the way, how is your shoulder?
Thanks for asking. It's a little bit better. Never got the surgery. Wow.
Why
good memory.
Wouldn't you
Can
get
I say he asks
surgery?
Every time?
But he's concerned.
Every
Frazier,
time
unlike
he's on.
You rat bastard.
No, I ask you.
The first time I saw you, you were in pain.
Yeah,
well, you were.
I don't know if you know. I was in pain. I didn't have time. Been too busy. I would have had to have been in a strap. They said for at least 2 months. When you came into the studio, I don't know if you noticed, but I was icing my ear.
Yes,
with the frozen water
New
bottle.
Issue.
That's because I got now a cauliflower ear developing because of my.
Are
jiu-jitsu
you wrestling someone?
I'm jiu-jitsu. Yeah, and I grew up wrestling. I am grappling and jiu-jitsu. I'm rolling.
Wait.
I got into it because of my kid.
You're like, man, the shoulder's just coming back.
Yeah,
you know what I should do? Wrestle.
I didn't plan on doing jiu-jitsu. You know what it is. You have
jiu-jitsu
two boys.
Jiu-jitsu chose him.
It chose him. Well, because I grew up wrestling, but my kid, who was hyper, I needed to get him in something. I couldn't take him to the boxing gym. He was too young. So there was a jiu-jitsu studio that took him that young.
Right.
And I saw him rolling around. I'm like, well, I should know what I'm doing so I can help him get familiar with it. And so I started kind of taking lessons, and I got hooked. It's cool. It's physical
now
chess. It's really, really cool. So
but
now I can choke you out and knock you out at the same
time. Oh, no. I would stab you way before that. All these MMA guys would be like, totally could kick my ass.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, but it's, I mean.
Yeah,
I,
so cauliflower, frowned upon, obviously.
Right. Why, I mean, especially, it's good on TV.
Now, I'm wearing headgear. So I start, now, but it's actually painful. So that's why I got to do the ice thing.
Yeah,
but I just got the blue belt. I'm not going to quit now. Not about me, Joe McHale.
How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it over a year. Just a little, about a year.
And it's the first cauliflower?
Yeah, believe it or not, grew up wrestling, never got it, and I got it. But it's very different because you're on your back, there's knees, and you know, I think I felt when it happened, but I didn't think much of it. Then it started to form, and it actually hurt. I can't sleep on that side now.
Because your ear continues to grow, your nose and your ears, and yeah. And in my case, my penis don't stop ever growing. I think the most intimidating, a guy could be the most intimidating. He could be covered in swords or. You know, you could look like a tattooed Hell's Angel, but if I see cauliflower ears,
you know that dude's not to be messed with.
Mess with that dude.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you that's guys, not the look I'm going for, though. So I'm wearing headgear.
Weren't you guys gonna spar? Didn't you?
Yeah, we were.
What happened with that?
Whenever.
I think we still got a date.
We still got a date. It's an open. It's an open.
It's like 2020 or something.
People not familiar. Joe's a real athlete. He played.
Was.
He's a he's a big ass dude. If you ever get a chance to talk next to him, he's a big dude. But you played ball. In Washington, right?
Yes, the Washington State. I walked on to the Wazoo? University of Washington.
Nice, man. The Go Cougars. I thought it was Cougars.
No.
I'm sorry. Isn't that Washington State?
No, I got an education at the University of Washington.
Wasn't Washington State Cougars and Washington Huskies?
Yeah. Well, yeah. University of Washington Huskies, Washington State Cougars.
Yeah, okay. But I thought you said Washington. Oh, you meant Washington State like the state of Washington. Okay, my bad.
So, yes. So, yeah, I was a really
you
great
play a tight end,
at
right?
practicing. I was behind two of the best tight ends, so there was no way I was going into a game. And they went on to be scary, wonderful, nice men who got Super Bowl rings.
Everything worked out, man. Everything worked out. That's good. But yeah, real
I'm
athlete.
Still hustling. They're sitting on a pile of money. It's on some ranch somewhere. So, but their knees are never going
to
be the same.
Yeah, you're going to walk. You're healthy. Getting back to the show real quick, but I know what I wanted to ask you because I was reading it. Is it true that E at one point asked you to not...
Yes.
Poke fun at the Kardashians.
Yes.
That's a real story. What was the breaking point? Like, okay, this is the joke that made it too far.
Well,
and they tell you to chill.
No, and so I always preface this by saying, so I've been telling this story, I'm not kidding, for years.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have talked about how, well, the Kardashians used to make calls on, but so when it first started and Ted Harbert was the president,
yeah.
And he was like, have at it, make fun of us. It's the only way these shows, like, it's like Letterman would make fun of GE back in the 80s.
Sure.
You bite the hand that feeds you. Just like Geico. What's that? Is it supplemental insurance sold by a lizard? Probably. No. So, but you don't make fun of sponsors because they pay for it. You make fun of your boss. And sure. So Ted Harbert would always say, like, just have at it. And then apparently, like, Chris Kardashian would call after we made fun of...
Excuse me. Kris Jenner.
Excuse me. They would call and they would go like they would call and complain about something I had said. And then Ted would call us and go, yeah, OK, so Chris called. Can you just lay off them this week and then you're fine next week? And that was always kind of like that was totally
little hand slap.
Like they obviously they're paying for, I mean, they it is the network now. It's been for years, but I got and we didn't want to like screw them. We're going out. Well, I would be like because there was so much to choose from that we would lay off for a week and then we'd hit them again. Then Ted left. A new administration came in. Then that administration was gone. And then and they moved us to Wednesdays, which didn't help. And then this third one that is, I think they're still there now. They said, don't make fun of. Like I'm burping. don't make fun of the Kardashians anymore. And we went, that's not going to happen.
It's 90%
still,
of our content.
We've got to make fun of them. And so I kind of saw that the writing was on the wall. That they weren't, because for a while, comedy with Ted, because he had the Chelsea lately, sure. And he had Joan on Fashion Police.
Right.
And then us, and then the... So
that's a great era.
The comedy brand was strong.
Yeah.
And then during that last administration, or maybe second to last, the union came in and said, mm-hmm. Hey, this is... Because E! Is pretty much a non-union network. And they're like, these are all comedy writers. You need to pay them all. Ooh. And they all need to be WGA. So, and it just so happened that Chelsea was leaving. And then Joan very sadly died. And then we were the last... the last man on the raft. And so that you have to pay for every rerun and E makes its money by rerunning things forever.
Right.
And they pay the people who are involved, but you get paid what's not union. And so as soon as it became union, that was, which was great because people got paid, but that model did not work.
That's fascinating. Thanks for sharing that. Were you, all of a sudden,
I'm sure they're going to try and sue me now for saying, but it's what it, That's no. actually what
I mean, you're
happened.
Just telling the truth.
No, you're just telling the truth. And I mean, and they know at the end of the day. But were you looking to do a new installment of the show right away? Or was it something that was brought to you a little bit later? And
no, I did, the show stopped. And then I did one more year of Community. And I was doing movies and stuff. And I don't know, movies. I want to try other things, you know. Then I did The Great Indoors, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah,
it
was CBS. On CBS. Yes, we talked about
yeah,
it.
All right. Sure. Yeah, yeah, sure, Joel. No,
We had you on to talk about it.
That's right. Yes. No, we had, but people, it was short-lived. It was one season. It was a lot like True Detective. It was all wrapped up. I just didn't realize it was going to be all wrapped
up. You solved all the problems of millennials,
I
believe.
Well, that's that. And, but then, as you can tell, I talk a lot and I never stopped talking. And I always enjoyed that because I got to be with my friends. I mean, the guy that played Mankini, who is now called One Piece Man, because he's in a One Piece.
In the Upside Down.
He is my best friend from fifth grade in Catholic school. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I'm immersed around Washington. So, it's great to hang out with those folks, and I always had a blast doing it.
Yeah.
And I love money.
Yeah. Well, and the great thing about that is it doesn't prevent you from doing other things, and you're still acting, and mm-hmm. I was happy to hear you're going to be joining the cast of Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
Right?
Drew Barrymore, and I don't even know his name. No, Mr. Oliphant, the great Timothy Oliphant.
He's great.
He's such a nice man.
Oh, that's good to hear.
He's so funny. He has gotten famous from serious roles,
yeah, kind of.
But you don't really see him in comedic stuff, and he's so funny on that show. I mean, obviously, we know Drew Barrymore is really funny, but he's remarkable. And you know, when they asked me, I was like, absolutely,
yeah. What's your character?
I play a rival real estate agent. My wife and I, who's played by Maggie Lawson, who played my love interest on The Great Indoors.
Oh,
so you know, shippers. I guess I shouldn't reveal what happens, it was really cool. I was just happy to work with those guys. So it was good times. We shot it in Santa Clarita in the summer.
Oh,
and
it's toasty.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, I'm here and I go like, it's only going to be 95 today here in the Valley. And then, but I go out there and I was like, this is hell on earth. Yeah. How do they live?
And they call it Awesome Town, right?
They do?
Yeah,
that's their slogan. Yeah, Awesome Town.
Awesome.
I don't know why.
Wow.
Yeah. Like Six Flags is there, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like if you call your town Awesome Town, it's the opposite of awesome.
Yeah, I think that's their title.
Right?
I think, yeah.
I mean,
we're listening to in Santa Clarita, so we love Santa Clarita.
Yeah, but it's when people go awesome. Like Atlanta, you go like, you mean Hotlanta? Right, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even a good.
No, it's
like
terrible.
You drop the A.
I'm from there, and when people say that, it embarrasses me.
I was like, unless it's.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't track.
It's dumb. It's completely dumb.
I would be like, Great Angeles.
Great Angeles.
I'm like, okay, not great.
Yeah, City of Angels is wah-wah, dude.
But Santa Clarita, finest, awesome town ever.
Real quick, and I don't think I've ever asked you this, but you were born in Rome.
Yes.
Right? And your mother's Canadian.
My mom's Canadian, my dad's.
And your dad's. So does that make you a triple citizen?
I could have been. Because
that'd be that'd there
was
be that, that
this was before America recognized dual citizenship.
Ah.
So what everyone would do was they would when you have your kid, you would go to the American consulate and go, look, we had an American baby. We're Americans.
Yeah.
My mom was a dual. I had both citizenships and she had two passports. And then you would go over to the Italian consulate and go or Italian and go like, hey, look, you're making an Italian. We made an Italian. He was birthed here. They're like, okay, great. Here's and then you would go over to the Canadian consulate and go like, we made a Canadian. I'm Canadian. And they're like, great, here. And that's when everyone just, it was no one asked. And then it got recognized. So now to go back would be, it's difficult. But I think I spoke to an Italian lawyer and he's like, yeah, you can pay for it. Huh. And I was like, how much? So
a fun little fact.
Too much. But that was a long time ago. I don't think you probably could do it now. But I have an Italian birth certificate.
Nice.
I did.
Was your father in service or just traveling?
No, he was the dean of students at Loyola University Rome Center, which was out of Chicago.
Wow.
And my dad saw the movie Roman Holiday while he was in college. And he went, that's where I'm going.
That's cool.
And he did. And they were there during like the... the heyday of Rome in the 60s.
Yeah, what a great time.
That was,
man.
Yeah, I mean, like,
my... You spent a lot of time there, or...
My aunt, uncle, and my cousin still live there, and
we
go back there every few years. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been, but it's one of the best places on earth.
You speak any Italian, or?
Absolutely not.
That's cool, though.
And my wife mocks me as I'm trying to order drinks there, like, due espresso, espressi, per favore, signora. And so, and then they just stare at me. But I did lose my passport was stolen. In Rome, now this is a long time ago, back before you guys were born, but I was traveling alone and I was stolen and I went back to the consul. I wouldn't be like, well, I lost my, and they looked me up and they're like, it's born in, they saw that I was born in Rome and they kept going like, I'll be right back. And they're like, you're born. I was like, yes, I am. And they thought I was trying to like get an America. They were like, but you're in, they couldn't figure out what I was because I'm like this big,
did eventually
loping
figure it out?
American guy. Yeah. Can you help me?
And, I'm Italian.
Because there was an Italian guy in there going like, I want to get a job in America. And they were like, you can't do it this way, sir. And then they gave me a temporary one because they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, what a trip.
And every time they would look at this temporary one, they'd be like, I can't show you here. But they would just stare at me and be like, so you, okay. Make any sense.
Huh, weird.
It worked out.
Look at that.
See?
Look at that. I learned so much about you.
I'm a Roman, guys.
And they're Roman.
When I walk down the streets, they're like,
dang. You killed Jesus. No, that wasn't
where, that got dark.
They did. We did.
Well, they got dark fast.
The Jews came back to life.
The Jews really did.
I mean,
the Romans did. There was that great SNL sketch years ago.
Exactly.
Where were you born?
I was born in San Diego. Chula Vista specifically, South San Diego.
What were your parents doing?
I'm first generation kid here, so my parents came from Mexico. We barely made it across the border. I was born. They live there now. They still live there
they
now.
They must be. You are the golden child.
Well, they know my mom and dad. They're so like, oh, that's nice. They don't trip at all.
They're not like the parents that are like, well, he should have been a doctor.
No. They're happy and supportive, but they've never been. How do I say it? Like they've never like gotten too excited about anything. They just wanted to keep me busy and out of trouble. So I accomplished that, and they're good, right? Like, how down to earth are my mom and dad?
Oh, no, they're super
real
chill. Real
blue collar.
His dad comes to visit occasionally. It's great. He tells us all kinds of weird things about Mario, which is like,
They're old school. They're funny.
Here's the thing with Mario's tattoos. They're
Your
made of sheep's
together?
Blood. Yes. They've been married. We just threw a 50th wedding anniversary for them.
That's nice.
Last summer.
My parents just did 45.
45?
That's a long time, dude. How long have you been married now?
21 and a half.
Wow. And the kids you said are 9 and 12?
9 and 13, yes.
9 and 13.
Eddie and Isaac.
What are they into?
There's a lot of Madden being played right now.
Do you put a time limit on the... Because I even have to do that with my little ones, with the iPad and all that.
I do a time limit that a minimum they have to play 3 hours.
If they're not playing, hey, that's a career option now.
Yeah, I was like...
They can make bank.
You can make huge amounts of money. Huge amounts of money playing, so they better get good.
Well,
but
maybe I shouldn't discourage it then.
It's funny because now the 9-year-old, he loves it, and he knows every name of every player on every team. And I was like, you're really learning a lot on this. Keep playing. And then my older son, he still loves, he's Legos. And he's 13, but he's moved into that zone where now he just builds everything himself. And he makes up stuff. And he's clearly going to probably be some sort of, I don't know, an architect. Or maybe he'll work for Lego. But he's one of those guys, because I learned that 30% of all Legos are sold to adults for adults to build.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, you're going to be one of those guys. And they're also, they do Taekwondo.
And you got him in Taekwondo?
Yeah.
They have
my 13-year-old just dislocated his kneecap doing it.
Ooh.
That was a good, he has plant foot.
Yeah.
He was practicing on a rubber floor and his foot stayed and he twisted and it just popped over to the side.
Oh, that'll do it. Hopefully it doesn't discourage him. It's good for him. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. We went to the emergency room and this was like 3 weeks ago and the emergency room was full of babies and elderly people with the flu.
Yeah.
And there's my son now. And he was like, I think it's safe for us to be here.
Right. Broken knee, caught a cold.
If you're okay with the flu, yes.
Right.
It was like a science fiction movie.
Do they have any interest in getting into the entertainment business?
No. Not from what I mean, at one point, like, I think Eddie Isaac 2 years ago was like, maybe I'll be an actor. I'm like, well, maybe. But I guess he's around. I mean, we're all around all the time. But, but they have not really expressed any interest. I think they see it because just like, I don't know what, I see what my dad did. I was like, yeah, probably, I don't know. He wore a suit to work every day. I guess that's what I'll do. I don't know how it works. But I think they also think their dad is not necessarily cool.
So no, I get that.
Once in a while, I'll meet somebody that they're interested in. They'll be like, so you just met him?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You know that guy?
So they'll be happy about that. Are your kids?
Yeah, actually, my daughter is like doing a lot just by accident. Just sort of got into it. My wife was a performer too, though. We met when we were doing a Broadway play. So it's sort of, you know.
See, it's when it's in the family like that.
Yeah, so she's actually pretty busy these days, which is a trip. I did not think that ever happened. My son needs to step it up. And he needs to start doing a little.
You're like one of those dads.
No, I'm kidding. I do want to instill a strong work ethic, even at a young age. That's what my dad did. I never was the kind of kid that just plopped on the couch. He'd always put me to work. Even if he saw me sitting and watching TV, he'd give me a chore or make some up, even if I did them already.
Watch the TV, Mario.
Right. Literally. Yeah. No, something needed to be. There was a ditch that needed to be dug, or there was something that needed to be.
And then when you were done, fill it back in.
Are you worried at all that, I mean, I remember when I got to college and you could tell the kids whose dads and moms had yelled at them to work their asses off because, or whatever it was, because they, I was in a fraternity for 6 months and they just sat, a lot of them were like, oh, thank God I can just sit.
Finally a break.
And they all, you know, expanded after that. I mean, they got it back together, but.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, because we're not really pushing them. A lot of it comes from them. They're both hyper kids, so, yeah.
How many kids are not? I mean.
I see some pretty chilled out kids, because I've noticed that when I'm at school. Your kids go to Catholic school?
No.
Why don't you put them in Catholic school since you went?
Because. It's not close. We found a school that we loved called, I'm not going to say.
Scientology High School.
We found a school we love, and it's in a church. So there's that in a church building. And then my other son is homeschooled because he's even more dyslexic than I am, which is saying a lot because I can't really read.
Yeah.
So, and there's not that much, and there's no private school support for stuff like that, hardly.
Yeah.
There is some public, but we found this great teacher and he loves it and he will go back to regular, but I couldn't read and I just cheated through everything.
That was me in math.
Yeah. I cheated on everything you could. And it was, you hear that, kids? Do that. That's how you get ahead in Hollywood. Yeah. That doesn't really serve the, like, by the time I got out of college, it's like, perfect, can't read, all right.
Huh.
I really didn't learn to read well until I got here, when I started reading teleprompter.
Yeah.
Which, if you watched me read it in 2004 when I started The Soup, which it took me 4 hours to get through 22 and a half minutes of jokes.
Really?
Whoa.
And now I can pretty much read it without stopping now all the way through, but it was... the anxiety of reading and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you get nervous when The Soup went live? Even though you're already like doing it for a long time.
I do have an unnatural thing where I want to get into, I want those situations, which can be a disaster. But so I would, we build it as like the live dyslexia read.
Yeah.
So. We were like, I have dyslexia. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And so doing that more and more with the pressure actually helped me helped me get over anxiety on it. So helped. So if you want to get over dyslexia, get a show on, a third tier cable network and or second tier, whatever.
Be forced to read.
And then be forced to read out loud, or live television.
That's cool that you shared that too. You know, I was, speaking with Tom Cruise, not to drop a name, but somebody who obviously is incredibly successful, he too was dyslexic growing up. And he said he had to start reading out loud.
Yep.
And it finally got him a lot better. But so, yeah.
You never get great at it, but you definitely learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And if you were to watch the teleprompter scrolling, even today, I'm rearranging words. I'm putting new words in. It's an adventure. There's nothing to do with memorization. Everyone goes like, how do you memorize scripts? They were like, that's not the problem.
Yeah.
Like I can memorize very quickly, actually, because I read a lot slower.
Yeah.
Oh, the problems I have. But audible.com has been the greatest thing for me.
That's cool.
It's books and books. I finally get to read the books that I was always like, I am not going to read Crime and Punishment. That thing is way too long.
Yeah.
And I read Crime and Punishment, everyone. I don't remember anything about it. It was a fun one.
Joel McHale, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, man.
I talked a lot.
No, but this was awesome. Actually, and it's fascinating.
You're about 6 minutes short of the record of our longest interview.
Who's that?
Michael Rappaport.
Michael Rappaport was...
Okay, here's what we're doing.
Yeah. Did he talk longer than Kevin Smith? Because Kevin Smith was
Kevin
really
Smith.
Long
Kevin, yeah, it was longer than Kevin Smith. But it was barely longer than Tyrese.
The only reason Kevin Smith
and
stopped.
And Tyrese wasn't funny. It was just like way too deep.
No. The only reason Kevin Smith stopped too, I think, because he had to go get a towel because he was sweating so much.
The moment we started.
Was he wearing a hockey jersey?
Yes.
He was. The moment we started the interview, he was fine. The moment we started the interview, immediate sweat.
Weird. It was like an interrogation.
And for 20 minutes.
Was he nervous?
Or I don't just know.
He was just kind of like
for 20
he's
minutes.
A big guy and he
drenched our carpet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
That's why there's hardwood in here.
Yeah, that's why exactly. We don't have carpet anymore.
All right, to wrap this up, everyone, please check out new episodes of The Joel McHale Show.
Starring Tyrese.
Yes. Starring Tyrese, which airs Sundays on Netflix. You can follow him on Instagram at Joel McHale. Dude, love talking with you. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Mr. Lopez, for having me. Always fun.
On with Mario Lopez.